Oh, hi there. I'm Bob the Tomato. Come on over to my house. Welcome to my house. It's the one up on the hill. It's the place I cook my dinners, take my baths, and pay my bills. It's the place that I get letters from kids like you.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Larry.
Every day we get a letter, gotta make the problem better.
Do you like my yellow sweater?
VeggieTales.
You've seen us on DVD.
But now at last we're on TV.
From Portland to Schenectady.
It's VeggieTales.
You know, I look pretty good in overalls.
I'm sure you do.
Hi, kids, and welcome to VeggieTales.
Are there any giant bagels around here?
Huh? You're supposed to say on TV.
On TV. I had a dream last night about a giant bagel.
Well, that's unusual.
I get it.
Mail, here is your mail. It's here in my bag, not in bucket or pail. I bring it through hailstorm or blizzard or gale, for I am the man who delivers your mail.
Have you ever had a dream about a giant bagel?
No, but I had a dream about an aardvark singing opera, if you can picture that.
Nope. Got a letter?
Right here, I'll just stick it through the mail slot.
You don't have to do that. It's
the least I can do for a man who dreams about breakfast pastries.
Not all breakfast pastries, just bagels.
Fare thee well, strange fellow.
What's it say?
Jimmy called me strange.
The letter says Jimmy called me strange?
No, the Larry said Jimmy called me strange. The letter says, Dear Bob and Larry, this big kid at school said I was a doofus because I'm not very good at soccer. Now I feel terrible. I'm never going to try to play anything again. Bartholomew. That's kind of sad. Vaguely familiar, though.
Well, yes. You and Bartholomew are having the same problem. You know...
Called a doofus, eh? Bartholomew needs a story.
Don't tell me. From your big book of oddities.
Exactly! We're on the same wavelength. Follow along, Bartholomew. In 1878, German schoolboy Heinrich Snell played a game of recess cricket so poorly his schoolmates dubbed him a schniddleflap, which, at the time, was a terrible insult. Did little Heinrich let it get him down? No! Instead, he devoted his life to building a global chain of pizza parlors called, you guessed it, Schniddleflap. By his 60th birthday, the name Schniddleflap had come to mean high-quality pizza world round, inspiring the phrase still used today, it's not just good, it's Schniddleflap. Flap. Unfortunately, his old schoolmates disliked his pizza and renamed him Icky Pizza Boy. The end. If you don't like the name that bully gave you, spend your life building a worldwide chain of pizza restaurants.
Yum!
I'm not sure that's the best advice, Archie. Or he could do what I did.
Abandon the soccer field and take up musical theater.
I am the very model of a modern major general. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England, and I quote the facts historical. From Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. I'm very good at integral and differential calculus. I know the scientific names of beings, animalculous. In short, it matters, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I am the very model of a modern major general.
Now stay with me. I am the very model of a modern major general. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England, and I quote the facts historical. From Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. I'm very well acquainted, too, with matters mathematical. I understand equations both for simple and quadratical. About binomial theorem, I am teeming with a lot of news. A lot of news.
With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse.
With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. And many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. And many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse.
no bully gave me trouble after that.
I can just imagine. Hey, Bartholomew, why don't you give this story a try?
Far, far away in the land of galoots, where the bigglebag trees bear their bigglebag fruits, and far lily bushes all blossom in yellow, and thimbuddle plants squirt snooberry jello. Here, where the mountains of Rocky Magoo rise high o'er the meadows of Gilda Manju, where sunsets are painted with purple and blue, you'll find a small town, not much bigger than you. Welcome to Snoodleburg, home of the Snoodles, a curious folk who eat pancakes with noodles and spend half their days making sketches and doodles and cutting their hair into shapes like French poodles. Now, right in the heart of this curious town is a curious building, the tallest around. With a clock at its top and a chute at its bottom, 'tis pink in the spring and turns red in the autumn. But weirder by far than its color or height is what happens there every fourth Tuesday night. As strange as it seems, it has been demonstrated that snoodles aren't born, but rather created. Every fourth Tuesday at 9:15, the tower will shimmy and rattle and whine, and as the town nibbles on bigglebag fruit, a shiny young snoodle will drop from the chute. That's where they come from, though no one knows why, nor who could have built the great tower so high. These mysteries of life befuddle most snoodles, who'd much rather focus on pancakes and noodles and cutting their hair into shapes like French poodles. Yes, most found the tower too noisy and strange, until one small snoodle made all of that change. This little snoodle was much like the others. He came without siblings, no sisters or brothers. He came without money, a mom or a dad. The pack on his back was all that he had.
This is peculiar,
the little guy said.
I came from a chute and I fell on my head? What do I look like? What am I for?
He pondered those questions and then thought of more.
Checking my bag is a good place to start.
He pulled out some paints.
Maybe I'm good at art.
The next thing he found was a snoodle kazoo.
Hey, what do you know? I can make music too.
Then back on his pack, he pulled a small string, and out from the sides popped two little wings.
Amazing!
He said with a gleam in his eye.
I can paint, play kazoo, and now I can fly. Wait till the others see all the great things I can do with my paints, my kazoo, and my wings.
So he packed up his paints and his snoodle kazoo, and he hopped off to show them all what he could do. There from the top of a short, stubby wall, the big snoodles heard the new small snoodle call.
Come watch me, you guys, as I head for the sky.
He straightened his wings with a gleam in his eye. Then he jumped and he flapped like the red snooted finches that fly from the plains to the peak of Mount Ginches. His flight, unlike theirs, covered only 12 inches.
You call that flying?
You think you're a bird? We've never seen anything quite so absurd.
The old snoodle snorted. He sniggered. He shook.
I'll paint you a picture to show how you looked.
The brushstrokes were skillful. The colors were coolish. The story they told made the young one feel foolish.
Take it from us,
said a snoodle named Lou.
Flying just isn't what you're meant to do.
The young snoodle drooped. He felt his heart sag. The painting the old snoodle placed in his bag.
Carry this with you,
the old snoodle said.
So visions of flying don't go to your head.
The weight on his back was as heavy as lead.
And now it's time for Silly Songs with Larry, the part of the show where Larry comes out and sings a silly song. Join Larry as he follows the tragic saga of Barbara Manatee in the daytime drama Endangered Love.
Barbara Manatee, you are the one for me. Fend from up above, you are the one I love.
Please don't cry, Barbara. You're a nice manatee. You've been so good to me, but I must go into the world and do noble things for the good of all. And you can't come because you don't speak French. Au revoir.
But if you live, Bill, who will take me to the ball? Who's going to take me to the ball, Bill? I have a new dress and shoes, a new mannequin lipstick. Who will take me to the ball?
I'll take you to the ball, Barbara Manatee.
Please don't go.
I must.
Don't go.
I must.
Don't.
Must.
Don't.
Must.
Barbara
Manatee.
You are the one for me.
One for me, one for me.
Sent from up above. You are the one I love. Barbara
Manatee.
I'll be your Mona.
Things for the good of all.
Yes, but first, Bill, will you take me to the ball? Oh, Bill, will you take me to the ball?
I can't dance.
You can't?
No.
I must go.
Please don't go.
I must.
Don't go.
I must.
Don't.
Must.
Don't. Don't.
Must.
Barbara
Manatee. Manatee.
You are the one.
Larry? What are you doing?
Jeff, watching a little TV, Bob?
Well, maybe you should read a book.
Yeah, okay.
This has been Silly Songs with Larry. Tune in next time to hear Bill say,
Barbara, I've learned to dance.
Oh, Bill.
So under the weight of the picture he bore, he hobbled along feeling lonely and sore. Till up far ahead on a bench near the tower, he spied a bright bundle of far-lily flowers. His heart started lifting.
What beautiful things!
Then he remembered.
I've got more than wings.
So quickly, he dug the paints out of his pack and hoped that with art, maybe he'd have the knack.
I did it!
He yelled to the snoodles in town, then held up his picture as they gathered round.
You did it all right!
Said the snoodles, replying.
You showed you're no better at painting than flying.
Then one of them laughed, and while eating a waffle, painted a picture that made him feel awful.
You're puny.
You're silly.
You're not all that smart. You can't use your wings, and you're no good at art.
That picture, too, was placed in his pack and made his heart slump just as low as his back.
I'm ugly, I'm foolish, and so very small. I don't think I should be with Snoodles at all.
And so he decided to get out of town. His wings hung so low that they dragged on the ground. He walked past the tower and out of the city. He walked through the fields and thought,
my, this is pretty. The far lily bushes all blooming in yellow, and thimbiddle plants squirting snowberry jello. I might like it here,
said the small snoodle fellow. Then feeling some warmth coming back to his chest, he thought he would sit for a moment and rest. But try as he might to sit down with grace, the weight on his back knocked him flat on his face.
Who?
Said a voice from behind. A farmer stood up with a thimbuddle vine.
Why, you need a picture, my Snoodleberg bud, lest you forget how you look in the mud.
And so in an instant, the picture was done and placed in his backpack, which now weighed a ton. The poor Snoodle struggled. He wobbled. He groaned. He stood to his feet and he said with a moan,
is there anywhere I can be truly alone?
Just then overhead flew two red-snootered finches, winging their way toward the peak of Mount Ginches.
I see,
said the snoodle.
Then that's what I'll do. The home for those finches will be my home, too.
So painfully, struggling under his pack, the small snoodle inched up the big mountain's back. He crawled over boulders in rain and in lightning. He trudged on and on, though the journey was frightening. Till finally on Sunday, at 2:15, he spied all the meadows of Gildemanjoo and realized he was on top of Mount Ginches, alone with the wind and his thoughts and the finches. He thought of the snoodles. He thought of the tower. He thought of the bell that would chime on the hour. He thought of his pack and his very long walk. He thought it so loudly, he heard his thoughts talk.
Hello,
said his thoughts.
You've made quite a climb.
That voice,
he remarked,
doesn't sound much like mine.
Then he turned and he noticed he wasn't alone, for a man stood behind, near a cave in the stone. He looked like a snoodle, though quite a bit bigger.
Maybe a giant,
the small snoodle figured.
I'm going,
the snoodle boy said with a huff.
And don't paint a picture, I've got quite enough.
But first, come inside,
the man said.
Have some tea. I'm so very pleased that you're visiting me.
The snoodle boy stopped, though he'd only gone inches, and stared at the stranger he'd found on Mount Ginches. He didn't seem angry. In fact, he looked kind. The poor little boy was confused.
Are you blind? I'm puny. I'm silly. I'm not all that smart. I can't use my wings, and I'm no good at art.
The stranger leaned down with a pain in his heart.
Who told you these things?
He asked.
How do you know?
These pictures I have in my pack tell me so.
The small snoodle sniffled and started to go.
First, if you please, let me look at this art. That makes your pack heavy and weighs down your heart.
Then, picture by picture, he unpacked the bag that bent the poor snoodle and made his wings sag.
Dear boy,
said the man,
these look nothing like you.
Then into the fire the pictures he threw. He rose from his chair, saying,
wait there, you'll see that what you need most is a picture from me.
The snoodle sat patiently, sipping his tea. Then from a room in the back he returned and said,
dear little snoodle, it's time that you learned what you really look like.
And he threw off the sheet, and what the boy saw warmed him right to his feet. The boy in the portrait looked older and strong, with wings on his back that were sturdy and long, and a look in his eye, both courageous and free.
Sir?
Asked the boy.
Are you saying that's me? I'd like to believe it, but sir, I'm afraid to.
But I know who you are,
the man said.
For I made you. I built the tower and set it in motion. I planted the meadow, put fish in the ocean. And I feed the finches, though most snoodles doubt it. Not one of them falls that I don't know about it. I've seen you fall down in the mud and the goo. I've seen all you've done and all you will do. I gave you your pack and your paints and your wings. I chose them for you. They're your special things. The snoodle kazoo is so you can sing about colors in autumn or flowers in spring. I gave you your brushes in hopes that you'd see how using them you could make pictures for me. Most of the snoodles,
the old one said sadly,
just use their paints to make others feel badly.
The young snoodle pondered the things he'd been told. Then, wondering something, grew suddenly bold.
But, sir, if you made this incredible land, can't you make snoodles obey your command?
The big one smiled warmly, then said to the small,
a gift that's demanded is no gift at all.
With that, the small snoodle reached into his pack and pulled out the picture he'd made 10 miles back.
They're far lilies, sir, from over the bridge.
The old one beamed bright and said,
"That's for my fridge."
After the small snoodle's picture was hung, the old one bent down to the face of the young. He said,
"Here's what you look like. Here's how I see you. Keep this in your pack and you'll find it will free you from all of the pictures and all of the lies that others made up just to cut down your size. And lastly, your wings. You know what they're for. But not just to fly, son. I want you to soar."
"But, sir,"
said the snoodle,
"how can I fly? This picture's so big, I won't get very high."
"But this picture's special. It's bigger, it's brighter. Carry it close, and I think you'll feel lighter."
As soon as he heard it, the snoodle looked down and noticed that he was an inch off the ground. He laughed and he leaped and he flew from the cave, feeling now older and stronger and brave. And he flew through the clouds and he flew with the finches. He soared up and down round the peak of Mount Ginches. He flew over far lily bushes in yellow and thimbuttle plants squirting snooberry jello. He flew over biggle bag trees and their fruits in big lazy loops or the land of galoots. Then hurried back home to the center of town where the snoodles all stood with their wings on the ground. And starting precisely at 2:15, he told them the story that I just told you.
So you see, Bartholomew, when you know how wonderfully you were created, how amazingly special you are, you can ignore the guy who calls you doofus because you know it just isn't true. And Larry, you aren't strange, just unique.
Thanks, Bob. Tonight I think I'm going to dream about pizza.
It's not just good.
It's snoodle flap.
Thanks for coming to my house today, kids.
See you next week.
Goodbye. Bye. I thought pizza was Italian, not German.
Oh, please. And I suppose you think Chinese food came from China.
Didn't it?
Heavens no! Argentina!
I think I need to go lie down.
Watch out for the giant bagel.
Oh, dear.